Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gabin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Seda.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this is a continuing week of the summer blockbuster extravaganza. A little bit of an odd choice here. It's 2005's Son of the Mask, directed by someone named Lawrence Guterman.
Director of Cats and Dogs,
yep.
Actually.
Oh, right.
Makes total sense.
More CGI animals in that film as well.
Yep. He's got a skill.
Skill set, and the yammering dogs.
He brings that CGI dog skill set to CGI baby.
There you go.
Oh, man.
You got to have ambitions. That's the thing with this stuff.
Yeah, we got to see how fucking far down the uncanny valley we can get.
Let's fucking dig into the valley. Open up the valley.
Exactly right. You are developing property in this valley. So if anyone does not recall, because guaranteed you haven't seen it. Nobody saw this movie.
Unless you, really hate yourself.
I did. I'm curious, though. Here's the thing. This movie came out in 2005 or 2015 now.
11 years after that original Jim Carrey movie.
We have some people listening to the show that are younger in the 17 to 19 block. I'm hoping not younger because we say fuck a lot.
We got an email from some like 14-year-old boy a couple months ago, so you know.
Did you grow up with this movie? Question, like, because you know,
growing up with Son of the Mask.
Yeah, like you get like a weird. Something's just. I grew up with Major Payne. It makes no sense in that movie's fucking
right, yeah,
terrible.
Me too, right. Yeah. Right.
Something just comes into your sphere and you just watch it a bunch because you're an idiot. And
well, you know what? I gotta say, if you grew up watching Son of the Mask, please go in for a psychiatric evaluation. I think this movie's gonna be responsible for a whole army of Dahmers.
Yeah, get the work up twice. Do the whole thing.
Oh, I don't understand how this is a family film.
That's not
the problem.
Oh, no. It absolutely is not.
And it's not an adult film either.
It's a classic nobody wins scenario.
It's for no one. This movie was made with no one in mind. And you can't even say, like, this movie was made with dollar signs in their eyes. Because look at this cast.
Also, like, this is also a movie that they've been trying to get made ever since the original Mask hit the theater.
Right.
And which is a long time ago.
Yes. 11 years in the making, this
and
sequel.
And this is what they come up with? I mean, George Miller was working on Fury Road for longer.
30 years!
And it's amazing. You had so much time to think about how the Son of the Mask happens. And this is it.
Well, this was a thing where it was a hot. It's a hot potato situation. Because I think
For sure.
Yep, at a certain point, they thought it was going to be Jim Carrey. And then he said no. And then they asked everybody else.
How much money was it, though? Like, it had to be so much money they asked him to take.
I don't know. I mean, that's the interesting thing that this movie falls under is there is like a stable of films that are sequels to Jim Carrey movies that he has nothing to do with.
Yes.
Which is how we're making money, right? Like, he doesn't want to do a third Ace Ventura movie, so you have a little fat kid play his son.
Son of Ace Ventura?
Ace Ventura.
Son of the Mask?
Pet Detective Jr.
Remember Son of the Majestic? Son of Andy Kaufman?
Dumb and Dumberer? When Harry Met Lloyd? Right. He's not in
the
that.
The Boy in the Moon, not the Man in the Moon.
Yes. Oh, the prequel.
Lil Truman Show is a bit of a letdown as well.
Number 22. That's a fucking terrible
movie. That is horrible.
Looking at you, Joel Schumacher.
All right, and then they did number 21. Oh, wait, was it the number 23?
Did you already make that joke?
That was literally the joke.
I didn't remember the name of the movie.
So this movie is Jamie Kennedy is a would-be animator whose wife... Trailer Howard?
Yes, from Dirty Work and right. Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
And she's the pizza place in Two Girls, a Guy.
She's on Monk a Bunch, which I'm sure that's paying for some summer home.
Monk a Bunch, indeed. There were a lot of people that were just on Monk a Bunch.
Oh, man, Ted Levine doesn't have to work for the rest of his life because of Monk.
And never have so many people... fallen into the realm of not having to work for producing such poison
as the TV show Monk. Monk, everybody.
It's for a certain audience.
But thankfully, it's people that I kind of want to, you know, not have to worry. Ted Levine.
I wish no ill will on Ted Levine.
Tony Shalhoub. These are all people I'm happy they don't have to fucking struggle.
Just keep USA original programming out of my living
room.
Just
keep them off Grey's Anatomy. I'm fine.
Is Ted Levine on Grey's Anatomy?
No, but that's my point, is I think he would be doing a Grey's Anatomy arc
if
not for something like Monk.
Hey, bro, are you watching Grey's?
Yo, bro. you believe he's dead? Do you believe Nah.
I'm not doing a character. I'm actually asking if you're watching. Oh. All right.
No, I watched that fucker get T-boned, though, on the internet. That was great.
That's what I was wondering. Is that
Mick Dremeld?
McDreamy, our good friend Patrick.
Loverboy himself.
Yeah.
So Jamie Kennedy's would-be animator. His wife wants to get pregnant with a kid. He does it because he's a jerk. And
he might be fucking this dog.
I don't know. We'll get there. And
that's for sure.
The dog finds the mask. Alan Cumming plays Loki. Whatever. It's a stupid movie. You're about to hear the whole fucking thing. So congratulations.
I mean, there's so many places to start with this. I mean...
I think we start with Ben Stein narrating the history of the mask.
Dude, sure. This movie has no respect for the audience. Do you know what Loki and Odin are? Yes, we do, because we know what anyone has a base idea of Norse mythology.
That you're talking about the masks. They
audience,
know.
Yes.
But what about the sons of the masks?
That's the thing.
That don't
right?
know Norse mythology.
If
yet.
You're trying to market this to kids and you have to try to in some way set up like who these gods are going to be.
Sure. Yeah, I get it.
Drag but, in America's fucking rash, Ben Stein.
This is a guy who,
Ben Stein?
Who agreed to do anything mask related. The one guy, he was in the first movie, he was in the cartoon, he was in The Son of the Mask.
I think that was in his I think the first contract stipulated that. Whatever we do with this franchise, Ben, you're in.
But so this is this opening scene where he's like, this is the history of Norse mythology. This is what this mask is.
And what the fuck museum is this? It's like it's a museum with a bunch of replicas and
it's chiseled into it. It's the American Institute of Bullshit.
Oh, okay. Like, I guess it's a folklore museum, which do exist, but that's not what these people... Why is there such a varied tour? There's, like, illbillies in this tour. Like, oh, man, I can't wait to go to a museum.
Let's talk about that, because Ben Stein brings up that, you know, what Loki's parameters are.
Yeah.
You know, that Loki can change shapes.
Wow.
And he's even...
Clear eyes.
That's great when you got to go to work in the morning, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, totally.
And... he mentions that Loki has even been known to change shapes into a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Prompting one guy in this tour group to go, a woman, man alive, lock up your sons and daughters around that twisted fruitcake.
Twisted fruitcake. Whoop-de-fuck screenplay.
Exactly, because Ben Stein's like, whatever. You know, because like, we're supposed to think that guy's a jerk, but you're still trying to get that joke. You know what I mean?
You're still clearly making a joke.
Yes.
There. Right away,
fruitcake
in the year 2005. Everybody,
yeah, I mean, fruitcake was out. It was out.
It's way out of the parameter.
But so you're advertising this movie for kids. You've got this idiot explaining Norse mythology. But then, in one of the most terror-inducing things I've seen in a long time, Alan Cumming playing Loki,
dressed as Magneto.
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. Can't forget that. He's donning the Magneto hat and long jacket.
We are the future, Charles, not them.
And he's just like, you know, like, stop making fun of my dad. And he like cuts, he uses his magic powers to cut off Ben Stein's face because he's like, that mask is a fake, and cuts Ben Stein's face off and sticks it in the mask case. And then, like Insidious 3, which I just saw, you've got this person running around without a face on, and he's just like...
Oh, no, I have vertigo, Ben Stein.
Yeah, it's like, get me out of this case. What did you do to my face? What's happening?
He's so calm about someone ripping his face off his body.
Cut to 15 minutes later when the cops are like, oh, my God. Call in Mulder.
Have to imagine once Loki leaves the vicinity of this museum, the magic wears off and it's just a man with a ripped off face.
Yep.
and the body falls down dead and there's blood everywhere.
There is a closed casket.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's right after this scene, closed casket.
And that hillbilly is just standing at the crime scene like, look at that faceless fruitcake.
It would be great if rather than...
I love going to museums just to rag on them. Like, what is this guy's deal?
It would be kind of great if instead of turning into the worst... Yeah, a KISS army member with... radioactive poisoning, which is what he looks like as the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But instead of that, he pulls a Hannibal Lecter, puts Ben Stein's face on his face.
Oh, yeah.
And starts walking
that
around.
Would be cool.
Yeah, I think that, yeah.
What a twisted fruitcake.
Hey, honey, you want to go to the tractor show today? No, I want to go to the museum. They got a bunch of stuff about Greek people.
Hey,
you
why
know
is
what
that?
They were up to, right?
Hey, why is that painting with Thor don't got Hulk in it?
Yeah. Please, sir, you've been banned from this museum a bunch of times.
Fuck that, y'all. I bought a season pass making fun of all these fruitcakes in this here museum.
Got me a membership. Oh, man, African architecture. That's pretty fruitcake
to
me.
No, don't touch African art. So...
Boy, oh boy, do I love supporting not-for-profit organizations.
Fruitcakes
as far as the eye can see.
The African wing of this museum is looking like the White House. So, by the way, at this point, Loki has formed into, like, God Loki to do all these powers.
Yeah, which he has all these mask powers without putting the mask on.
Right.
Because he's a god. I get it. So he's Loki.
But who invented this mask and for what?
Loki did.
Why?
I don't know. I think the idea was, like,
for
Loki's a trickster, and he put this mask on Earth to cause some fucking mischief.
And
he jacks off to it somewhere.
Gotcha. I think the difference is because I think in the original, they say that Loki was banished into the mask.
Oh, do they?
And for some reason in this one, he just has, like, his essence or something.
Oh. Is this supposed to take place 11 years after that first movie? Or is it
Yeah, because he throws it in the river, and the water brings it to his shore.
It's supposed to, yeah. What's crazy about this movie is it cares about geography. Okay, the first movie started in Edge City.
Right,
this movie, the mask floats down the river from Edge City to Fringe City.
Jesus
and within
Christ.
Fringe City is where Jamie Kennedy's shitty family lives. I don't understand. It's a comic book property originally,
yes.
So I guess they're adhering to that. But
it's
I don't know.
Image Comics?
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. And this is what I don't get about the whole franchise. The mask comic books, he's the Joker.
Yeah, he's like a bat.
Like, he kills millions of people.
He's killing people?
Yeah, he's an assassin who got the mask and turned into a deranged serial killer.
Oh, he's Deadpool.
Why aren't we having that movie?
Because it's a fucking Disney property. Well, no, a New Line.
New Line Cinema, family,
Jim Carrey movie.
The first movie was a little darker on the edges, right?
Yes.
You're dealing with the mafia.
Yeah, you got Peter Green. That's anytime Peter Green shows up
true,
in a movie, he darkens it up a bit.
Yeah, but it's like a D-grade darkening it up, though. I mean, that guy as the main villain of the mask.
No, yeah.
That was always one of my big problems with that movie. I think that movie's a fucking snooze.
Yep.
There's not a lot there. You know, it's a little bit of nostalgia going on. Jim Carrey, the physicality that he's pulling off in that movie is amazing. I'm not denying that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would say is the difference between that movie and this movie is that movie, they set it up. Jim Carrey is a schlub in the beginning,
yep.
And then the mask lets out Jim Carrey as the crazy physical comedy genius.
You know why? Because he's putting on the mask in that movie. Yep. Jamie Kennedy, two scenes with this mask.
And he can't pull it off.
No, he can't.
No.
That's very clear.
And that voice he's got. Oh. It's bad ADR of him trying to do this, like, suave.
Hey, how you doing?
It's fucking horrendous.
So we cut to Jamie, you know, Alan Cumming ruined Ben Stein's life, ends his life.
Wow, I'm dead.
I've been turned into a nightmare.
Don't get me started about creationism.
Make Jimmy Kimmel do my eulogy.
Guaranteed Jimmy Kimmel does not speak to him anymore.
No, I don't think so.
We cut to Fringe City. Yes, his dog, Jimmy Kennedy's dog, who looks a lot like Jim Carrey's dog.
It's the same name.
No, it's not. The first dog was Milo. This one's Otis. And
that's the wink. Suicide.
Oh, God. Fuck you, movie. But the fact that we're doing another mask movie and you need to get the exact same dog. How about another type of dog have a little fun?
What about a pug?
Yeah. Oh, a pug would have been good.
A pug
then,
in the city.
Well, you know what, though? Then that's a little too MIB.
Sure. No, go full Beethoven. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
And an actual like big beast that you got to actually have to deal with.
Oh, St. Bernard getting the mask, dude. That's how Cujo happened.
You put that thing gets the mask on. It looks like one of those Ghostbuster dogs.
The Hulk dogs, you mean?
Yeah.
Those are the Hulk dogs.
The Hulk dogs from Ang Lee's The Hulk?
Sure, yeah.
Remember that when a poodle gets... Gamma waves.
Remember that when Ang Lee directed The Hulk?
Remember also that footage of Ang Lee, like, emotionally portraying The Hulk?
Oh, yeah, he mo-capped himself, man.
He sure did.
Oh, God damn it, Hulk. Oh, God damn it, look, he's destroying San Francisco. I'm just going to bite into a power line right now, God damn it.
That's my favorite Nick Nolte movie in any movie. Any movie.
That movie, he just chomps down into that thing.
Oh, God damn it.
And it's like, it's a cable as thick that they, like, run on the floor of the ocean.
Well, no, I'm fucking starving. I'm going to take a big hunk out of that cable.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've bitten power lines several times in my life, and I've never known that. Nobody's ever tried to electrocute me.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of a misnomer about biting into power lines.
Where's Eddie? This is 48 hours five, right?
We cut to Jamie Kennedy and Trailer Howard. We find out very quickly that she really wants a baby and is in the wrong relationship.
Yeah.
Like, just literally break up.
Yeah. That's going to be called Divorce of the Mask.
Jamie Kennedy is having baby nightmares about her nether regions is vomiting out.
Just
her
birthing 19 and counting, literally.
Popping out kids at a Dugar-esque rate. Is what we're talking
about. And they have fangs and stuff.
Yeah, why are they little vampires?
This is the start of way too many instances of the fisheye lens in this movie.
Oh, man. Oh, man. They got their money's worth for that lens rental.
When you bought it in 1996, you thought that was going to be big. You might as well dust it off.
You know, it'll pay for itself. Just five music videos and we'll be fine.
I was going to say, this movie looks like a bad Smash Mouth video.
Well, no. I mean, Busta Rhymes used all the fisheye lenses you needed.
Totally right. I know we just made fun of Smash Mouth and Busta Rhymes, and I know a lot of listeners hold them to be high esteem.
Sure.
And it's okay if you want to listen to that, all right?
It's fine if you love Busta Bust.
It's great to love Busta Bust. It's not great to listen to Smash Mouth.
Yeah, get out of my fucking face.
Guys, I once saw Busta Rhymes live.
What? Under what circumstance?
The best circumstance, and this is
Did
so
you go
bizarre.
To a Rock the Bells festival?
I went to a festival of sorts. Sure. Okay, this was 2002.
Wow, okay.
Okay, here's the headliner.
Yep.
David Bowie.
Okay.
I'm going for fucking David Bowie.
Sure.
Right.
Under him was Moby.
Okay.
And then further down the line, a couple acts below
tearing
that.
Tearing tickets was Busta Rhymes.
But Busta Rhymes did his set, you know, did his thing.
Sure.
And at the he decided to, you know, like, how are you going to end your set? Make it the most memorable, magical evening, a night out someone could have.
Plug the role you have in Halloween Resurrection.
He might have done that. I don't know. But... He also went on this tirade about downloading music.
Oh no.
Man.
And man, boy, did that make me
not care for him.
Yeah.
Did you purposely go home and pirate every Busta Rhymes album?
See, I wanted to, but I realized I would never want to listen to him.
I was wondering if he actually made a rap around not downloading music, because that would be really lame.
No. He just stopped the fucking show dead. And just had a frank conversation with 3,000 people in this stadium.
Wow. That's something.
Did he invite Lars Ulrich up?
No, really.
No, I wish.
Oh, man.
So
this house they live in, by the way, looks like the house from a Gushers commercial.
It's
a cartoon house.
Everything looks like the fucking Gushers commercial and the Slim Jim ads.
Yeah.
Oh, son of the man.
No, the one with the guy with the plastic hair.
Oh,
which is
not like
this guy.
Yes. That reminds me, and I want to bring it up now because I know I'm going to forget later, but Steve, you just made me think. I don't know if anyone will remember this, so for in this room or around the world listening, there was a stand-up-ish guy that his act was, he was made up to look like a Ken doll. Does anyone remember this?
That was me.
No.
There was like, I remember seeing it on like late night TV one time.
Was it the band Aqua?
No, it wasn't. It was pre-Aqua, pre that music pre-Aqua? Video. And it was, I mean, it was the early 90s, and it was a guy, he had plastic hair like a Ken doll. He had very like stiff, like
wait,
facial expressions.
Max Headroom?
No, it wasn't Max Headroom either. It was a thing. It may as well have been like, my memory clouds it up to like mix it up with a possible like late night like QVC type thing.
I think you just got haunted or something.
I may have, dude. I mean, I don't know. But it's this memory I've had of this Ken doll looking motherfucker doing what it's, I remembered to be stand-up
well,
comedy.
I mean, it's that time you took peyote in the Mattel
oh,
headquarters.
Right, right, yeah, right, that, right, that, right, that right.
That's why they call it a dream house.
Anyway.
They meet some friends of theirs that have a whole bunch of rotten children. And on the way back, she's driving and he's playing fucking Game Boy Advance. And you yep. know what? That's divorce town. When, yes. like, you've got to be a good fucking co-pilot. If somebody else is driving,
yep.
be engaged, help out with the radio, just playing your little Game Boy at a 30-something-year-old man.
Game Boy? Falling asleep?
Yep.
While someone's driving you? Any of that? Oh, steams my clams. But he's playing this Game Boy, and she's like, I think you need to know. It's very important to me to have a child.
Yeah.
And he's like, the other thing about Wario is... And I'm just like, I fucking hate your guts from scene one of you in this movie.
He's presented as, you know, like a man-child.
A baby man. A complete
he's,
baby
no, he's
man.
He's immature, and you'd think... God, you'd think there would be a character journey of some kind... That he'd learn to be a better man through the use of the mask, but that doesn't happen.
Or you think he might be excited about fucking his wife. Maybe, just maybe, he'd be excited that, like, okay, yeah, we're trying for a kid, but maybe the beginning part of that would excite you over goddamn Wario Adventure.
Well, you know what? He's getting all of Wario's gold coins shored up on his little Game Boy Advance record.
But it's so strange because, like, Jim Carrey was a lovable loser. You know what I mean? Like, and
Stan Ipkiss is a lovable loser in that movie.
There's nothing. And it's Jamie Kennedy's. I mean, it's Jamie Kennedy, period.
That's yes. the problem sorry, to begin with.
He's not a lead. I've never liked a movie that he's ever been in more than 20 minutes.
I mean, I think this is the first movie I've seen that you would like qualify in that like handful of Jamie Kennedy movies.
Yeah. It's a vehicle. It's a Jamie Kennedy vehicle.
Because I didn't see Malibu's Most Wanted.
Nope.
Is there anything else? I think Handful was an exaggeration.
I think he had some direct-to-video whatever.
Nonsense.
National Lampoon
well, didn't
presents
he also
Fart
do,
Fest.
The
I'm sorry. Eric just said National Lampoon presents Fart Fest, which is a movie I would watch, well, by I mean, the way.
And I'm sure Jamie Kennedy would take that offer.
Dorm Days 2 : Fart Fest.
Can I put this out there? If anyone at National Lampoon or Jamie Kennedy himself is listening, let's get together on this. Let's
I think
write
this script. We've stopped branding movies National Lampoons. They're still putting movies out, but we've learned that no one at the direct-to-DVD store or whatever or
really gives a flying fuck
yeah,
about
that. That's yeah. the thing. It's like a kid today... trying to rent something doesn't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, exactly. You
know?
Exactly. Well, that's we did the same thing with American Pie until like young teens forgot what that meant. They forgot about those original movies.
Thankfully.
I'm looking up on the internet ticker just to see what we're doing here. Because I really want to be sure.
Well, didn't he do the Heckler documentary?
Oh, the Heckler.
Oh, yeah. So, Steve, you saw that movie,
did
right?
you see that movie, too?
I did not.
Oh, it's a direct response to this film. It's a documentary... that starts off about actual hecklers, comedy club hecklers, and, you know, the psychology they're in and how much they fuck up comedians. It's almost like the Aristocrats, like Lewis Black shows up and, like, they're telling heckler stories. And, like, it's almost okay.
That sounds like something I'd like, but I know the turn.
In the middle of it, it turns into movie critics. And it makes this comparison that movie critics are the same thing
as
hecklers.
They are not the same thing.
Because
a
you're
movie
not...
critic is not stopping a movie.
Exactly. He's talking about it after the fact. And it talks about, like, how hurtful they are to comedians and how hurtful, you know, they're just people are just trying to make money and blah, blah, blah. And these people are like ruining their careers. And like he confronts some people, too.
I do.
It's all about, it's all
I
about
watched the clip of him confronting the guy.
That guy's
oh,
a fucking
man.
Straw man and yeah. a fucking phony.
It's ridiculous.
You know, why do you say that?
Because he's just like he's probably a real guy. But like he found the weakest willed person that ever to like do battle with because right. this guy's like like gets really intimidated by Jamie Kennedy for some reason. And like Jamie Kennedy's like, why'd you say my performance was worse than Hitler? Hitler killed a lot of people. I just made some jokes. And the guy's like, I don't know. I thought it was funny at the time.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's just a bad critic calling fucking somebody Hitler for, well, oh, no, for being the son of the mask.
Well, is it a critic or is it some fat guy on a message board?
Well, let's be honest here. Hitler overcame a lot more than Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Another one. I'm looking. I mean, he appears in a ton of things. A lot of those contemporary spoof movies, for example.
No.
But another one that is clearly him. 2007's Kicking It Old School.
Yeah, oh, that's yeah. the other one.
Which I think, it's like Son of the Mask, Kicking It Old School, Malibu's Most Wanted. Which
oh
was
man, Criterion
this.
Can do a trilogy set.
Yep, pretty much.
So yes, we. You know, he kind of leaves it with his wife. Like, look, I'm not ready for a kid yet. And she's like, yeah, but that's kind of a problem for me. Talk to you later. I'm going to go play in my incredibly weird dog room.
He's got a dog room.
It's really crazy. Like, I love dogs. I have a cat now, and I'm a fucking loser about it. You could follow
You
follow my Instagram post, you get it. That guy's a loser about his cat. I don't have a fucking room where I go in and I... Go away from my girlfriend and be like, goodbye, I gotta go play with my cat.
Yeah, I'm gonna close this door and me and the cat are gonna have a good time.
Wait, honey, what are you doing with our... It's my dog!
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's... Oh, yeah, big time. You get the feeling that he had the dog before they got married.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, before he met her kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, she's just like, I am gonna do some crazy shit to you tonight.
Yeah.
And he's like, uh-huh, Game Boy Advance with my dog. And she's like, you don't understand. I am going to rock your world. Our marriage.
Are you,
on the very basis of our relationship will be changed forever.
Wait. Are you actually going to wear the Princess Peach costume? Are you going to do it finally?
Or the dog suit, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, totally. They got a reservation at the Overlook Hotel.
I imagine them just watching the scene in the background while they're doing it.
Oh, man. Oh, man. A four and a half
marital aid.
Loop.
A marital aid is what I'm saying.
Some couples have to watch pornography. They watch the dog blowjob scene from The Shining.
And it's an adorable little Jack Russell.
Oh, it's the best, this little Otis.
It's a room that he painted with dog bones all over it. There's all sorts of activities and shit. I mean,
I think, unless I'm remembering it wrong, there's bunk beds in this room. Bottom bunk for the dog, top bunk for the idiot. So she's like... clearly frustrated about this, but there's no time because we have to also learn that he's a big loser at this animation factory
slash amusement park.
I don't know what this facility is supposed to be.
I think it's what the Google offices look like, actually.
I think this is Google. These are the guys that are in charge of making those stupid animations every special day. It's a special day in history. Let me tell you, the Google logo.
That started off as like, it's Christmas. Like, let's do a thing. It's it's 4th of July. Dude, that is a full-time job now. Every ding-dong day, it's some scientist's birthday.
No, they definitely have a researcher going through, like, what is a fucking... Is this a special day in Peru? Ooh. Okay, we'll do something for it.
Today in Peruvian history, the game Tetris came out for the first time. So we're making the...
Tetris game?
Yeah, we're going to make a Tetris game on Google
now.
And
you can move the G so it looks like an O.
And your little Peruvian flags, and you have to make a match. It's Google. I'm a billionaire.
So, like, his only real defense is, look, I want to make... And at this point, like, so he's playing in this fucking creepy-ass dog room.
Yeah.
He realizes the dog has this mask, and he's like, that's a piece of garbage. Let's put this away for later. And she comes in, and he's like, look, I just want to make cartoons. That's my dream. If I have a kid, I can't make cartoons. And she's like, well, you're not doing that now. Smash cut to him in a fucking turtle costume in a department store / animation studio.
/ amusement park.
He's giving a tour
to
people touring an Google. Animation studio. Okay. Like this open-air Google-esque office. He's like one of the cartoon characters that the animation studio makes.
Yeah.
And he's giving, like, who the fuck is touring a cartoon studio?
I mean, people do for, like, cool
really?
Like,
security guards in Korea, right? They tour a lot of animation
Yeah, making
factories.
Sure nobody gets out.
Yeah, the bayonets on their guns there.
But I just, like, I don't even know. It's because it's not like I can knock on the door of Pixar and be like, tour, please.
Yes.
And then someone comes out dressed up as Wall-E, like, here's a tour. Follow me. You know, that doesn't happen.
But also, the idea is, even if that were true, right, that being Wall-E would be some kind of a career path to becoming an animator. Like, it's like, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Exactly. Like, you aren't walking around Disney World dressed up as Prince Charming only to someday run the direct-to-DVD studio.
That's like... That's maybe some animator's, like, teenage son. That's his first job.
Yeah, A lot of nephews.
And they're playing Tornado Turtle or whatever the fuck else.
Tornado Turtle. I'm sorry. We have to stop the conversation because did a beer fall on the floor?
No.
Oh, all right. I thought a beer fell.
No, it was just my notebook.
Oh, all right. Because if it was a beer falling, the casual way you were like, nope, never mind.
Let it go.
So he's touring around. We meet his pal, Cal Penn, who's like, oh, man, you know, Cal Penn, whose accent is up and down and in and out.
Everywhere.
And I don't know if it's clearly like Cal Penn just talks like an American dude. You know, he has done a lot of.
Because that's what he is, right?
Yes, he is. He's done a lot of accents, a lot of movies where he does like an over-the-top Indian accent.
Van Wilder, it's thick as fuck.
Oh, The Rise of Taj. Yeah. It's something else.
We're just all Big Bang Theory-ing all over that fucking movie.
Yeah, but this movie, he is flip-flopping back and forth.
It's weird. It's almost like he got two different directions each scene or something, because sometimes he's just totally normal house Cal Penn, and the other times he's like The Rise of Taj, and it's like, what are we... And his name is Jorge as well, and it's like, well, what are we trying to say with this character?
His name is Jorge?
His name is Jorge, and it makes no fucking sense.
Oh, but it is pretty funny, though, said the screenwriter.
Because it makes no sense.
Okay.
It's funny because it makes no sense.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's funny because it's stupid.
That's this whole goddamn movie.
It's just, it's insulting. It's like, that's just like, I guarantee in the screenplay, Jorge... comma, ethnic, comma.
intermittent ethnic voice.
Whatever it is. And, you know, he's just
he's
like...
He's in a mocap suit.
He's in a mocap suit because all of this is happening at once, apparently.
Yeah.
And they're all eating lunch together and like, oh, Stephen Wright, who is the head of this... who's the Walt Disney of this studio.
You consider him an animation god.
Yes.
Sure.
He's the Matt Groening. Oh, he's the Matt Groening. Yeah. I mean, so he's sitting there like eating amongst the plebes.
Yeah.
And Cal Penn's like, this is your one shot to go talk to him about possibly getting a cartoon show of your own that you invented. And you're just like, uh-huh. So Jamie Kennedy goes up, you know, to make this proposal, and he's dressed as a turtle and he's like sweating and fucking it up. And you're thinking it's like going to be a bust. Cut to like, so how did it go? And it's just like, oh, well, it went pretty fine. He actually told me to come back with a better idea soon and wants to hear from me.
I actually kind of like that in the character, is that Stephen Wright is not like your stereotypical like
bad boss.
Ah, fuck you, or just doesn't ignore it.
Well, because it's
guy.
Stephen Wright, so you're not getting any kind of emotive response out of anything.
It's sad that he's in this movie. Yeah, oh, he's a great stand-up. He's funny.
He's brilliant, brilliant comedian.
Well, that's the weird thing is he chucks his persona. He's just kind of in this, which is unfortunate. Like,
you're right. He doesn't have the same droopy dog delivery.
Which is actually unfortunate because he's really funny and fucking half-baked as the guy on the couch. And he's just doing Stephen Wright jokes.
But that is where that needs to be relegated, Steve, to a couch, not a titan of animation industry. How did he get there? You don't get there with a personality like this.
I want an origin story.
Rise of that guy?
Yeah.
Side DVD release? Because this, by the way, shockingly... Son of the Mask released theatrically.
I don't know.
Amazing.
Someone just set a boat of money on fire, and it was called the SS Son of the Mask.
Just like to watch it burn.
That's a Viking funeral for money.
I think this movie was produced by the Joker.
It might have been produced by Loki to create mischief on the world. Because I don't. You think you know what the story is? Like, all right, so it's about having a kid. It's about rising in this animation studio, maybe he puts on the mask and something happens.
Because that's right. In the original Mask, Jim Carrey uses the persona of the mask to like further
his career.
Jim Carrey,
right?
Because he's like a reporter or something.
No, he's a banker. He works at a bank.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But he gets in bed with a reporter.
Yes.
Right, Amy and it's like the
girl from Wings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a little early 90s Amy Yazbek in that movie ain't too bad. You got your first screen appearance of Cameron Diaz, if anybody could possibly care.
It was her best moment, probably.
I would say, yeah. Actually,
no, fuck it, a car. That's the one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I still have not seen The Counselor.
Oh, man, is that the best part of her
career?
If we're
doing The Counselor watch, I've still not seen The Counselor.
I haven't seen it either.
You're not missing much, except for fuck
it,
a car.
I think you're missing quite a lot, but...
I'll tell you what, if you want a contemporary Cameron Diaz low point, and I even will say that I kind of like this movie.
Uh-oh.
Her in the Jamie Foxx Annie.
Oh, yikes.
Holy train wreck, that character.
Well, I think that she's good, actually. I think that she's like,
she's
range.
Had her moments, yeah.
She's got range. She could do comedy really well, I think.
Oh, she's I think she's a smart actress.
Yeah.
She just takes...
crazy
garbage.
Risks. Yeah. Well, I think she's very risky. You
yeah,
know what
she
I mean?
Does risky stuff, but like most of it is garbage.
Yes, but bad risks.
Yeah.
Does that car impregnate her in that movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Is that how Optimus Prime
actually, it's also known as Crash 2.
Talk about Herbie fully loaded.
God.
No,
whatever.
That's good.
So back to Son of the Mask.
He goes home and there's a Halloween party and it's the big deal at the animation studio. By the way, he's got a rival, which means nothing in this movie.
Oh, it's
this
not guy, a character.
This guy, Alan, or whomever.
I think it was Chad?
Yeah,
Chad.
Was
oh, Chad.
Chad.
It is Chad. Even worse than Alan.
It's like, oh man, Chad's going to rise up through the company faster than me. Chad. And the guy's like, hi. And that's the end of it.
He's not in the movie anymore at all.
Why not just, I mean, I know you're Jamie Kennedy. I'm sure you've burned all the bridges, but like ask Matthew Lillard to come in for 5 fucking minutes and play this Chad character so I remember that it's a thing.
When Dax Shepard was a little too big
exactly.
for this, actually.
Well,
05, wait, yeah, he was kind of taken
actually,
off.
Actually, I think they can't get too close, Dax Shepard and Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, they might time cop themselves.
Yeah,
oh, no,
same
it's like
matter,
Station.
They're
going to come
stage.
Into one big one.
Oh, you're totally right.
And then Frank Welker starts voicing him. Man, I'd kill myself.
That is...
I mean, I don't know about the whole burning bridges thing, because at the end of the day, Jamie Kennedy seems like a really nice guy.
Sure.
That just does the worst things you've ever Malibu's most wanted. Like, you know.
But that heckler thing makes me wonder if he's...
Oh, that's a recommend for me. You gotta watch it.
Is it currently streaming on Netflix?
I think it might be.
Okay.
So, goes home. His wife does not want to go to this Halloween party because, A, they're in a huge fight because she wants to get pregnant and he doesn't.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, but my boss's Halloween party. And she's like, yeah, but go fuck your dog.
She also, it's one of those, like, I've got a lot of big reports to file because she's a big something-something at a nothing-nothing.
Yes, we have no idea what her business is.
It's she will just be required to take a week-long trip to New York in a few minutes later in the movie, so...
Well, I mean, that's kind of the weird underlying thing is the emasculated, like him trying to get his manhood back.
Well, because she's a bitch wife, right? Like, she's a wet blanket wife. Like, the whole movie is trying to circumvent her and her fucking designs.
But I don't think it acknowledges her that much to
do anything. Yeah,
I mean,
true.
She just comes in, and I think she's a very logical character. I don't think she's villainized because she's too ignored to be villainized. So it's like, she's like, hey, man, you know, we got married. Like, clearly we've talked about this. At least at the time when we got married, you said you wanted to have a kid.
Yeah.
I want to have a kid now. Like, let's talk. Oh, I'm sorry. Wario's fucking Golden Palace, whatever, you know. But she is very much just like, I'm not going to this Halloween party because I have, like, work to do. You go. You have a good time. And when you come back, by the way, nothing will be the same again because the intercourse that we are going to have after this Halloween party, we're going to make a baby.
Oh, you know, actually, I just bought Otis a cool little one of those balls you could put a little treat inside. I'd love to watch him try and get that.
I actually just printed out a picture of Otis to put on my face for later so that you're all set.
Oh, man.
And you're ready to go.
And one for your face, too.
So he doesn't have a costume because of some reason or another.
I think the dog ate it, literally.
Well, sure.
There was a whole thing like, oh, you could maybe you can go as a turtle.
Yeah. Oh, and then you would do that every day.
That's sad.
So, but he's got this mask, though. And she's like, honey, why don't you just put this mask on and get the fuck out of here and go to this
just
party
like,
already?
Oh, lame.
He's like, oh, here's the thing. Everybody
mask.
Always goes all out.
Yep.
For their Halloween, I mean, this is like Roseanne.
Yeah,
like every season of Roseanne, they went all out for the Halloween episode. Like that's what this is. It's a company going all out for Halloween.
I went My old job, they did that.
A big Halloween party?
Dude, the floors of it. And floors of beer and floors of people fucking dressing up. I have since left
the company. Are they hiring?
I've since left the company.
Just for the Halloween party.
Sounds yes. fucking good, man.
But apparently two guys got into a fist fight last year.
Oh, yeah! That's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Oh, man, was Pete Campbell beat?
Wait. Yeah, I need to know what were they dressed as? Was this a Freddy versus Jason?
God, it would be great if it was.
No, but like, no that, intel on those costumes?
No. I wasn't there. But like, yeah, it's some companies do this. It's a fun blow off steam. You know, get everybody together. It's a fun way to bond, et cetera,
sure.
et cetera. It seems like this is the thing. Although there was a band for this for Jamie Kennedy's, whatever.
Yes.
He gets there, he puts on the mask, he turns into the mask, and looks terrible.
Awful. Oh, man.
So
it's
bad.
Dog shit.
Why does he have hair? Why does he need plastic hair?
How yep. is this worse than the original, The Mask, that came out 11 years ago?
I mean...
From when they're making this.
Why would you give it hair? Like, I'm sorry. That's one of my biggest questions.
Yeah, that kind of ruins it.
It's bald. He's a bald dude. He usually has a hat on. Sometimes he doesn't.
Jim Carrey had hair.
Fucking pompadour. The guy had crazy hair at the time.
And then they when he puts the mask on, he's a bald guy.
And, not for nothing, Jamie Kennedy looks like he's been standing in front of a jet engine this entire movie. His hair just looks like he got out of bed the entire time.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, the contrast is, take all that hair off.
Yes.
You mean, you're doing the mask. Connect it back to the movie in some way.
And his mask outfit is like a Justin Timberlake kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It is.
It's like a really open shirt
and
a suit.
And a suit, and he goes in, and it's like, hey, everybody, why are you leaving the party? How about a musical number?
Well, the first toxic joke we get is this security guy asks him for his ID.
Oh, right. Man.
And he pulls out an IV.
Oh, mercy. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, whole, like, hospital setup, man.
What a horseshit joke.
Yeah.
And again, nobody's like, wait, how did you... Are you some shitty magician? Because please leave.
That's what... In both of these mask movies, no one is ever like, how the fuck is this person turning into a tornado? How are you bouncing off the walls?
Did you immigrate from here... From Chernobyl or what?
The question on the table is, are you an alien?
Yeah.
And if so, let's call up Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, and let's get them in here.
And
or at this point, it's probably Reyes and the other one, right? Doggett?
Yeah.
Doggett and Reyes. Well, the show is off the air at this point.
Either way, someone's showing up and cutting them open.
But instead, and this is the case with both mask movies, every dude in the room is jealous and every woman is horny as fuck.
That's right. Every man wants to be him. Every woman wants to be with him.
Well, the funny thing is there's this woman in, like, a sexy outfit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, like, he goes, hey, baby, you're not sexy enough for me yet. And, like, grabs
her to Cal Penn.
Well, she turns into a tornado and, like, I mean, she's in a skimpy outfit to begin with. It's like a leather outfit. And it's just a little skimpier afterwards. Uh-huh. And everyone goes, auga.
But then he's like, actually, never mind. Not sexy enough. And tosses her to Cal Penn. You're right.
I'm a monogamous man.
Here you go, bro.
Well, I guess you own her now.
This is an object.
That's a way to go with this movie is he turns into the mask. He fucks some chick at this party. And then it's like... Oh, okay, you don't want to fuck your wife and have a kid with her, you know, and that causes, like, marital rift.
Yeah.
Like, that's something for the movie to do. Maybe.
Possibly.
Any fucking anything. Thing.
Ordinary People starring The Mask.
Or what was that? What was that, War of the Roses?
War of the Roses?
The War of the Masks?
Yeah,
an epic divorce comedy?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
You get Danny DeVito in this movie, I'm watching a lot happier.
Hey, guys.
Absolutely.
Mask becomes her.
So.
Mask versus Mask.
We get this musical number where we are singing Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons in, like, four different musical styles. We're rapping it.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is... You know, Jim Carrey can do physical stuff, could do a lot of voices, could do a lot of characters.
Yep.
Jamie Kennedy kind of can't. What he's sort of kind of well known for is his musical parody abilities.
Or, Steve, conversely,
this ain't your mama's mask.
Yes. Absolutely right. And that from this Halloween party, we're making the distinction of like, this guy will not be tornadoing around fucking with gangsters. He is here to get the party started.
And yeah, but this whole scene is like, remember how fun that scene of Cuban Pete was?
Yeah, you're totally right.
How about we do a way
nothing
worse?
But
yeah. But even that scene had stakes to it. The cops were out there to shoot everyone.
Yeah.
Like, this is just like happening. A fucking party at an animation factory.
Well, also, something I will say about the mask as, like, just in terms of effects. The mask in the original movie, like, he's doing a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I remember the horn blowing up the car.
Yes.
And all that stuff. That's cool. The
not really.
One, yeah. The only thing they do is the eye thing.
Yes,
that was the
Auga.
The one thing they took from the original was like, let's just do that joke 100,000 times, and it'll be the same exact movie.
Well, the weird thing is like they make a point of that Jim Carrey in that movie is kind of a man child and loves cartoons, and that's why what he does is cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
Then why wouldn't the same thing be for Jamie Kennedy? Because he loves cartoons also,
exactly, and like trying to actually play up the cartoonish angst, and like they kind of do it with the kid, but like,
oh, don't even, we're gonna get there and I want to throw up,
but it's
so, yeah
but it's not like Roger Rabbit where it's just like the kid's doing like funny little cigar gags and shit like that, and I almost did this. It's so much worse.
So we're dancing, we're doing I Love You Baby, and through like country western.
Neil Diamond's.
Yeah, it's just everywhere. You just want to throw up. It makes him the life of the party. And then he instantly leaves. He goes home and he fucks his wife while wearing the mask.
Ew.
Like,
the mask never had sex.
Nope.
Jim Carrey's mask never had sex.
No,
as far as I know.
It was just a series of well-placed augas. But that's about it. Like, he comes home and he's like, hey, baby, I've got a hard erection.
I forget. Does she... She does say beforehand, like, we're going to have sex tonight? She does say that or no?
Yes, she says...
Well, she definitely wants... I don't think she's necessarily expecting it that night.
Yes,
but
she definitely
wants,
is, because...
She's grabbing his crotch, well, for sure.
She says, here's what's going to happen. Like, because she apologizes that she can't make the Halloween party.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I have a lot of work to do. I'm sorry. Go to the party. Yeah. Have fun. And when you come back, our lives will be changed forever. Like, she says, like, let's come home, we'll get it on, it'll be a great Saturday, you know.
And because this movie was written by an 8-year-old, the next day she's pregnant.
Yes!
Which
is
crazy talk.
It's not like time's passed and it's bad editing.
No.
Literally the next day she's like, geez, I was throwing up and I went to the doctor and I'm pregnant and there's a baby in there. And this all happened in 28 hours.
And I don't believe the pregnancy is advanced because it's a god baby inside of her either. It's just...
I mean, you definitely...
No, it's not advanced because he has a line about, like, I've been waiting to meet you for 9 months.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Dude, we get a sonogram scene, and then they just do the baby in the
belly.
They
do the Cuban Pete on the sonogram.
Well, listen, this baby has no frame of reference for what he's doing.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing this up. How can a thing that has no basis for anything make these obscure pop culture references?
Maybe Jamie Kennedy's wife was just watching the actual mask.
Yeah, you know what?
Maybe. Nope.
So cut to the B and or A storyline, because a lot of this movie now, it's all about getting Jamie Kennedy off screen. Like, literally, that was a mandate from somebody. It's like, look, we bet wrong.
Yep.
He's not going to be the mask this whole movie. We're changing that. And we're just going to have a bunch of competing storylines to get him off screen.
And that's a big thing, right? Because I had never seen this movie until watching it for the show. I was always under the impression that somehow Jamie Kennedy was the son of the mask.
Yes.
He was the Stan Ipkiss offspring.
Sure.
You
and
know,
son of was like a, you know, a
whatever.
Kind of,
yeah, exactly. Like, we're making a
metaphor,
a sequel.
Yeah.
But this is like... He is literally the son of this demon thing.
Yes.
And if you bought a ticket, which nobody was buying tickets for nothing with this movie, but in the off chance you were one of these people that was like, holy shit, Mask 2, finally. If you're buying a ticket, either as a fan of the mask or as a fan of Jamie Kennedy, to see him as the mask, that sex scene is the last you see him as the Mask until the last 10 minutes of this movie.
We don't even get to see the sex scene.
Well, thank God for that.
There's no cartoon fucking going on.
Disagree.
Yeah, you know what? I was looking for some awoogas in the bedroom scene.
Dude, think about what it could do.
Oh, yeah. His Mask penis?
At the very least, yes, I wanted a Kathleen Turner and Sam Waterston and Serial Mom.
What?
Has anybody else seen Serial Mom? Where
yes.
Where they bang the whole fucking bed is like jumping up in the air?
I don't remember a second of that movie.
Oh, okay. Then I'm just a pervert.
That cartoonish sex scene stuck in your head.
Or maybe a funny gag where like her hair is blowing all over the place and she's like, where did that come from? And then she looks over, oh my God, why are you green?
Just, I mean,
wait,
anything.
You could have done like Cameron Diaz then, right? And have some stuff in there, something about
marriage. Yeah, sure. Why not? Well,
some
no,
green stuff.
Here's my question though. So it's like, hey, I'm going to rock your world tonight.
Yes.
Is she on birth control? Is she not on birth control?
I think she's not because she wants to have a baby. Right?
But they didn't agree.
Yeah,
like,
they
or
haven't
he,
like really
she
talked about.
She doesn't care
it.
What he thinks.
That's fair.
And also, as I mean, remember the Masked sperm.
Well, yeah, it's going to go everywhere.
That's the thing.
It's like a
they can get
gun.
Through.
It's a home run every time. I guess.
Yeah, they can't. They can't be stopped. Yeah.
Exactly. Like whether it's pills or some sheepskin nothings, you know, yeah. Like. You're busting through whatever it is. You're just doing it.
Which, by the way, just because it was it was clearly marketed to kids.
Yeah.
Clearly wasn't for kids, but yeah. It was certainly marketed to kids.
Right.
And you have these fucking CGI masked sperms.
Oh, yeah.
Just
that's what
yimmy-yamming.
Wait, they have masked sperm
you
in this
didn't
movie?
See the scene?
Wait, what?
There's masked sperms.
Wait, I thought you were positing that you wanted to see masked
no, no,
sperms.
No. Maybe I saw the director's cut, though.
Shut the flying fuck up. The director's cut of this movie?
Explain what you're talking about.
There's a scene, they go, like, when they're having sex, like, they go into a little, like, a fisheye thing, and they're like, the sperms, and you go inside of the woman.
What? No, you don't. Really?
Yes.
It's like, look who's talking?
Yes.
Wow.
There's no alternate versions listed on IMDb. Are you sure you weren't smoking weed?
I can. I have my computer right here, and I can pull it up right now.
You know what?
Ladies
and gentlemen, we were pausing the recording. He's getting this out because the three of us have no idea what he's talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, some new evidence has come to light.
I have white hair now.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, it happens.
Apparently,
and
this was a deleted scene.
It's a deleted scene. It was in the cut I saw.
So in the cut that we saw, that Andrew, Eric, and I saw separately, it's just he comes and says, honey, I'm home, and he lays in bed. It's totally silhouette. And we cut to the next morning, and we know what happened.
Right.
In Chris's cut,
they like zoom in on like a petri dish of sperm, and
it's
then
it's like CSI shit. It goes right to her belly,
and then goes
the
into her belly, and there's a bunch of normal sperms, and then like the three stooges of masked sperms.
By the way, the mask is kind of not shooting that strong, huh? There's only three of them
only
in there.
Three. They're like
hollow point.
They're like hollow point sperm. They're more money,
and they came out of his face.
It's true.
Right? Because it would have traveled from his face.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. Three mask-esque sperm.
Is his dick green? Here's the question. Because with the mask, as you know, it's just a mask. His face is green. Yeah. Everything else is...
Your hands are still normal.
White guy hand. Yeah.
His dick is gangrene.
Well, he can... I will say, considering what he does with his leg in the first scene of after he gets the mask, he can elongate.
Oh, yeah. I see. A little Reed Richards.
That could definitely
makes
happen.
Sense.
So, it's a Three Stooges bit with like, let me in that chowder head, and there's three sperm fighting to get inside this fucking egg, and it's disgusting.
And they ram right into it, and that thing lights up green.
Oh, mercy me.
This should not exist. This is like looking at the Ark of the Covenant.
Steve's face melted off.
I can't.
That's unbelievable. So, yeah. So she comes home the next day. She's pregnant. Whoop-de-fuck. And he's, like, freaking out, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And then we just kind of cut to, like...
By the way, he was promoted because his performance at the Halloween party was so good Yeah, this Steven Wright's like, oh, you probably won't have great animation ideas if you can come to a Halloween party like that.
Well, I think the pitch is like that character is the cartoon.
Yeah. This could be a franchise character, yeah.
But then it's totally not that. Like later, he's pitching like all sorts of things that
after
aren't.
After he blows it.
Oh, right. Yeah, he does blow it.
That could sustain a whole season of television.
We cut to Alan coming on a beach. And fucking Bob Hoskins,
whatever
bracing himself.
Done up as Odin.
Yeah, he's got one eye, so they got that part right. He looks like he just woke up from doing a stint on fucking Time Bandits. Like he was in Time Bandits and fell asleep for 30 years, and they woke him up to do this.
I mean, this is, you know, he just, what they, how they introduce Odin in this movie is like the camera will zoom in on a character's mouth hole or an eyeball or whatever, and once we get extreme enough, we then shoot back out the other end with him going Loki, and it's just Bob Hoskins.
My son was born of the mask,
just looking like a big idiot in this costume.
Where's my mask, Loki? Why am I from New York if I'm a Norse god? Loki, I need that mask because I'm taking Maria to WrestleMania.
Loki, I only have four lines, and one of them is give me the mask.
It's outrageous, this fucking casting.
Why? And also, Alan Cumming is doing his normal flat American accent, obviously Scottish.
Sure.
Why do they both need to be American? What is that about?
Because I think it's because they couldn't come to a middle ground on their like European accents.
Here's the thing. Unless you are luckily enough Stellan Skarsgård and are accurate, and Lars von Trier as Loki and Odin, which that's a movie I want.
Oh, yeah. That's something. I think if you actually made a documentary about the tumultuous relationship between Lars von Trier and Stellan Skarsgård, it would be called Loki and Odin. Colon, figure it out.
Well, I mean, if you get Von Trier in this costume that Bob Hoskins has to fucking wedge himself into.
Oh, man. And most of this movie is Bob Hoskins just screaming in front of a camera. Because he's, in this scene, he's appearing in
the
clouds.
He's in a janitor's closet. He's in a janitor's closet with three green boxes around him, so they can put him anywhere.
We do get one shot of Asgard or whatever, and it's like an asteroid with a bunch of dead dinosaur bones on it.
Yeah, that looks really stupid, too. It's a dinosaur graveyard.
I killed the dinosaurs, Loki.
I got rid of Idris Elba. He was asking for too much.
Man, and I thought Anthony Hopkins was slumming it in that Marvel movie or
nope.
two.
No nope.
way.
No, no.
No way.
That's that regal grandeur he's got, Bob Hoskins.
At least
like,
he's getting the fuck up here.
At least he's got a gold eye patch. He doesn't look like a degenerate on the bus with a crusted over.
You're so right. If I saw this Odin walk under the New York City bus, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I don't want him to sit next to me.
He looks like the loser of a bum fight.
I'm the god of all Norse mythology.
Yeah, sure you
Loki.
Are, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, this homeless guy was harassing me in the fucking Port Authority bathroom.
I lost this eye in a bum fight. A raven pecked out my eye.
Sure it did, old man.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you wrestling a hamburger away from it?
I killed the last Hamburglar. Replaced him with a model.
So Loki is tasked to find the mask, which if he has all these magical powers, but he can't like know where this is instinctually.
This is a very frustrating thing because you're right. Also, Anthony Hopkins as Odin knows where the mask is.
No, you mean Bill.
Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
Bob Hoskins knows where the mask is, and Alan Cumming is even like, "Father, you know where this is. Just let me know." And he's like, "No, Loki, this is something you've got to do all by yourself because I got to prep to get down to WrestleMania, and this Hulkamania T-shirt ain't gonna irons itself."
Rene Russo's been on my back all day.
Oh God, so you just get Alan Cumming going pretending to be door-to-door salesman, plumbers,
he pulls
Girl
a looper.
Scouts.
Like, he looks up the fucking birth date of all these kids who were born on this day, and he's like, I gotta kill them all.
Dude, he's ringing the doorbell, and he's going, Sarah Connor. Yes!
Well, I don't think he's killing the kids.
He might be killing the parents, though.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
They're getting trapped in some sort of magical entanglement.
Well, one of them, he's a traveling salesman. He sucks a woman up into a vacuum cleaner.
She's dead. Yeah. That's death.
Yeah, she's just
straight dead.
Just a fucking bag
of
bones.
Coming out like something from Freaked.
One of us.
And then she just, then Alan Cumming just like hangs out with the kid. It's like, oh, be the one. And it's like, it doesn't do anything.
He's just
shaking.
He's like, do something crazy.
Yeah, and it
doesn't. Do something like the mask does.
And it's like, you would know. Wouldn't you know if...
Couldn't you smell it or something?
There's magic in the room, you know? Like, something.
Well, there was magic in the room when they were filming this movie. I'll tell you that.
So, I was going to say, that's what they say when we walk into a place. Oh, there's just magic in the room.
Speaking of movie magic, the baby is born. Yes. He immediately turns to be 5.5 years old. This kid is old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're totally right. Jamie Kennedy is, he's progressing in Stephen Wright's fucking pyramid scheme.
The feds haven't found me yet.
We get a nice, really lame montage of, man, when you have a baby, you just can't sleep.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. We're just going through it.
And Trailer Howard is like, look, I got to go away to New York for no good reason. I'm going to leave you with our kid because it's our kid and you're the father and that's how that shit works. And really, it's very clear she's making all the money in the relationship, right? It's incredibly clear.
He's a dude who dresses up like a turtle to give tours of an animation factory.
He's a classic movie loser.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're thinking, like, is he going to overcome this? Is that animation deal going to happen?
And meanwhile, nobody could give less of a cold fuck what happens to this character.
But also, like, why not give him, like, a normal office job? Like, in History of Violence, fucking Viggo Mortensen has a diner job to balance out the lawyer wife he has. Like, that's enough. Like, he's got... This is like something, again, a nephew does.
But it's not even as if this character is... intelligent enough to be that shitty about being upset that his wife is the breadwinner.
No.
He's just like, I'm going to play Game Boy and write my dumb cartoons all day.
And ignore you because you're a woman.
So
you.
She has to go out of town for a week or whatever, and he has to watch the baby, but he's got that big network pitch for his cartoon.
Right, he has to do the pitch.
For which Stephen Wright's like, okay, talk to you later. Like, he doesn't have notes. He's not like, I want daily drawings. I want daily meetings. I want to know what our pitch is.
Right.
What's our pitch?
I need assistant editors and animators around you.
Oh, of course.
Talking to you.
And it's just like, so here's your chance.
He's an animation god. He should be able to, even if that pitch goes sour, he should be able to spin some Don Draper gold or something.
Exactly, but like,
imagine a chocolate bar.
I grew up in a whorehouse. Tears.
God, I need that in this movie.
So a lot of this is him working on this pitch, and the baby just starts being the mask, basically.
It starts doing some stuff. We take some time off as a movie, which is nice.
Yep.
To show the Michigan J. Frog cartoon.
Oh my god!
Twice in this movie, you're forcing me to watch better cartoons with the Looney Tunes Michigan J. Frog bit. He's watching the Flintstones at one point because he also starts emulating Bam Bam.
Well, he gets from the Michigan J. Frog thing. You get a nice little bubble above his head.
Thought bubbles.
His
character's having a thought bubble,
and he realizes he can make his dad look crazy. Because I guess it's clear that he likes the mother more or something.
He likes the mother more. He thinks the dad's a doofus. Well, he also gleans that like the dad likes the dog more. So it's
a lot more than everybody.
The baby, rightly so, the son of the mask is like, fuck this clown.
But this is when we start getting some real bad CGI with this baby, and it's creepy and it's gross. Because it's just good enough to gross me out.
It's not
like, oh, I'm watching a bad cartoon like the fucking Ally McBeal dancing baby.
In In my notes, I actually wrote, is this a horror movie? Because of what's going on with this kid.
There were a couple of times I was shocked at what I'm watching. Because when the baby
like
turns...
The Exorcist.
The head turns into Woody Woodpecker, I freaked the fuck out.
I was like, what the fuck was that?
The baby... Yeah. Right after the baby has done doing the, hello, my baby, the Michigan J. Frog bit,
which is gross and disgusting.
Terrifying on its own. Yeah. It comes right up in front of the camera. That goddamn anamorphic lens is right there. And the head turns into Woody the Woodpecker, and we get a Woody laugh. This fucking baby. It's disgusting. I was terrified.
And also, the sound editing and stuff in this movie is terrible. It's, like when,
well, the,
when the
editing period is fucking horrendous.
It's like he's just playing a clip when he's supposed to be singing this stuff.
Yes.
Like, you can't, like, I hear like the background noise of when the real singer sang it.
Oh, is that my tea? Hello, my honey. Is my tea?
Hire someone to sing it or do, I don't know.
You know what? You know who I might want to be in this movie?
Yep.
Frank Welker.
Absolutely.
Let's get the master in here. It's the, yes. The yeah, dark it's, master.
You know what? Son of the mask, you can't afford me, said Frank Welker. I got $60,000 to voice a dog in Space Jam.
This is like a dire situation. This is when you need a Welker.
You need to Welker that up a bit.
It's crazy.
Can
I
you
never
afford Jim Welker, his brother? or
noted football player Wes Welker?
he might be part of the Klan.
Lou Welker.
So yeah, it's a bunch of gross stuff he's doing. It. We are just playing out the mission. We're cutting between two cartoons at this point. The middle of this movie is he's playing Michigan J. Frog with his father, and the dog, who has found the mask and knows
wants
how to use
it, kill the baby for some reason.
Well, because he feels neglected because he's been like.
Because
loved.
He hasn't been fucked in that room lately. I mean, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't
it's
had
been
had
a while since Jamie Kennedy
had a
took
spin
the
in
top
a while.
Bunk.
Yeah.
I mean, but the weird thing is like. That when the dog turned into the mask in the first movie, it was a big applause moment. I was like, "Whoa, the dog's a mask now!"
But for like half a minute, in
it's
that
a
first
joke.
Movie.
It's a throwaway joke. You know what I mean? And
this is a crucial plot point that this dog multiple times is putting on the mask
with
in this movie.
More than 3 minutes screen time.
Yes, but 10 to 12 in a pretty short movie.
Yes, the dog wearing the mask is a central character.
And he basically, it turns into a Tom and Jerry bit. So we're doing Tom and Jerry versus Michigan J. Frog for the middle of this movie. And Jamie Kennedy is nowhere to be found.
No.
It's just gross computer animation.
Computer animated antics. And I want to throw up the entire time. I don't know what's worse, the baby or the dog. I think the baby, because it's like they're trying to make it look realistic. Mm-hmm.
But that's actually the wrong way to go with it.
Yes.
If you're going to just do turn it into a cartoon, frankly.
Yeah.
The whole fucking thing.
I agree. And there's one point the dog's eyes fall out, which is kind of a living nightmare.
That is sheer terror. Sheer terror. These dead dog eye sockets just looking at you.
And I understand I'm bringing reason into an unreasonable situation. If you're clearly you're rich, look at this fucking house, and you know, your wife's doing business things.
Yeah, she's a business
woman.
Hire
a nanny. Or, unless they're all dead, ask one of the grandparents.
Right, yeah.
And you don't say that, so I assume you all have parents, so let them have some time with the kid.
I could use an old codger freaking out these baby antics.
You need Ray Walston across the street to be like, what the fuck's happening?
There's an old lady neighbor.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Who comes to nothing.
It's kind of like the neighbor from Babadook, actually.
Yeah, she kind of is. Loki's going house to fucking house, and I guess killing people.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed he's taking lives.
He finally comes to Jamie Kennedy's house after 8 minutes of an animation interlude.
There's a lot of, we're just turning to straight cartoon in this movie.
Yep.
For no reason.
Including the ending.
And like Jamie Kennedy is going crazy, in quotation marks, which again, he doesn't pull off because he's not, he's like trying to be panicked and like antic, I guess, or...
Manic?
Manic is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, but he just comes off like every other scene starring Jamie Kennedy. Which is to say, his hair's messed up, and he's in a very nasally tone yelling at someone.
Alan Cumming comes to his house finally as a UPS guy, and He's got the Son of the Mask in his hands. He's like, are you the Son of the Mask? Are you the Son of the Mask? And it's a baby, because the baby can turn it on and off.
Yep.
And he's just like, well, I have no mythical way to know whether or not you are, so I guess you're not. Maybe they were all Sons of the Mask. Who knows?
You don't have, like, a Norse metal detector that you're just something. Like, that's some of mine.
Loki, look harder. I mean, don't you think that kid could be the mask? You're breaking my balls here, Loki.
How many thetans does that child have?
If you don't get that mask back to me, I got nothing to wear to support mankind at WrestleMania.
So just when Alan Cumming's ready to pull away, Jamie Kennedy's like, I got to take this kid to the doctor or the office or whatever the
or
fuck.
Or an exorcist. Well, that, bunk.
They get in the car and he's like, something, it's like The Exorcist. And this baby, who somehow has knowledge of the pea soup scene in The Exorcist, turns its little stupid computer head around and vomits all over this car.
But it's like neon green.
Oh, it's no, mask green.
It's Nickelodeon getting the deluge.
Oh, yeah, this is where the gack is from or whatever. Is that what they call that stuff?
Gack. Oh, yeah.
And Loki, who's in his car, which is how he gets from place to place.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Not flying or just teleporting like any god would.
I appreciate that Loki buys American.
Sure. He's not a Toyota man. I get it.
It's before he pulls out. He's like, oh, wait, I do think now maybe that baby might be the Son of the Mask.
Right. So we like follow around for a little. I mean, there's a confrontation in an alley at some point.
With the baby smushing Loki with two dumpsters.
Oh, that's well, because that's the thing is like all of a sudden for no reason in this movie, this baby stops hating Jamie Kennedy and is like, I'm going to protect him from my crazy uncle Loki or whatever. And yeah, the baby turns itself into a shield and gets fire blasted. That's kind of terrifying.
And Bob Hoskins is furious about what's going on. He's possessing all sorts of people to try to interfere now.
Oh, that's right.
He possesses Jamie, right?
He possesses does. Jerry Minor at one point, who's working in some like novelty store. He's
a mask shopkeeper.
But here's the thing. Are Norse gods... Where is Thor in this movie? Are all the Norse gods roaming the earth? Or is this like the last hurrah? It's like, we're turning the tables up, Loki.
Well, I think...
Get that mask back up to Asgard.
It sounds like all the Norse gods are like Loki... not Loki. Odin's like, dude, we had our time on earth. We gotta go. They're stopping to believe in. So get your fucking mask. We're packing it in with the rest of the stuff. And we're going to Mars.
Mars.
That's what it sounds like. He's like, get all your belongings that you left on Earth. Yeah. We're leaving this fucking place.
There'd be more people up here on Mars.
It's like a kid and you're trying to leave a hotel. It's like, did you get your Game Boy? Like, no, I left it upstairs. Well, go up there and find it. I'm not going to help you.
Did you check under the bed? Because once we leave North Carolina, we're going back to New York.
So the wife comes back from a business trip, and the baby has been kidnapped at this point.
Oh, and Jamie Kennedy lost his job.
Yep.
Oh, right. Yep. Yeah, that happened.
Because like the whole week he's like trying to draw animation, which is really time consuming, and you can't do with a baby.
Well, and you also can't do by yourself.
No.
Well, my favorite thing is that, and it goes back to the Chad conundrum.
right, because Stephen Wright was going to pass it off.
Steve Wright's like, hey, do you need some help? We've got Chad here.
But that's the whole thing. I can't let Chad work on it because Chad's going to take credit
but
for
here's
it.
You're
the thing.
Creator of the fucking thing.
Well, that's one thing. But B, it's not like Chad is seen constantly like, oh, man, I'm going to get his scheme.
No, it's just and a it's dude who's like, I'll help
hey,
out.
Guy. It's like, hey, man, I'll help. I'm happy to help.
Chad is the good guy.
Exactly. I think he's Jamie the hero Kennedy, of the fucking movie.
Jamie Kennedy's the bad guy.
And he goes and he makes some like bullshit presentation and gets fired. And of course, like, yeah, again, like, Steve and I would be like, hey, before we get that presentation, want to sit down and do it for me, like, real quick?
Can I see it before we do it for the network? Yes. Exactly right.
Oh, you have nothing? All right, I'll tell them how I was raised in a whorehouse.
I'll go back to that well again.
Cry over that goddamn candy bar to launch a third cartoon.
Don't worry, I'm just going to pass this, you know, just pitch this to a guy named Matthew Viner. We'll be fine.
The carousel. It's where all your life's dreams come true. Remember me with my young kids?
Here's me doing stand-up in Oklahoma.
Here's me and Bobcat Goldthwait opening up a Planet Hollywood.
Here's my voice in Reservoir Dogs.
It's the first time I met Louis C.K.
That's just it.
The carousel is all of our lives.
There's nostalgia. It keeps spinning. Life.
My first Comedy Central special.
This great. Is my first actual deep dish pizza in Chicago.
This is when I was on Comics Unleashed with Brian Allen.
That was fun. So, we hit a lot of important hot button issues in that episode.
So Bob Hoskins is pissed. Like, all right, Loki, I'm going to take away your powers for 1.5 scenes. And he does. And then, like, he goes to Loki goes to the kids' room and makes some invocation.
Casts a spell, yeah.
And gets Bob Hoskins back. And he's like, Dad, look how good I am. Please give me my powers back. He's like, all right. I'll give you 1 hour, Roger.
So he's got an hour to get, like, the son of the mask and find the mask. He doesn't want the baby, really. Like, he has to get the mask back.
Yeah, exactly. He's used the baby's leverage, essentially.
Which, and also, if anyone was wondering, the mask is buried out in the dog's doghouse.
Because the mask means nothing in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all about the son of the mask.
Right.
And then,
as the title would suggest, I guess.
Well, Loki immediately goes to the baby, and then he radios in Dad again, and is like, give me back my powers. And Bob Hoskins is like, okay, Loki, I was so hard on you before.
Like, he is sort of the quintessential, like, pussy parent.
Yes.
Like, just bend. He's like the Homer bending to Bart all the time. Like, all right, boy, you won't be grounded this time, kind of a thing.
But one great thing that happens there is Loki gets his powers back.
Yep.
He's in the family's house in the baby's room, and that older lady down the street is all
getting, being nosy.
Yeah, nosy. So he turns her head into a giant nose.
Terrifying.
Holy God, this is terrifying. And then she sneezes, and the whole lawn gets a booger bath.
It's disgusting. Which also reminds me, by the way, we left out, there's one point where Jamie Kennedy, in the fatherly montage of being when the wife's away, the boys will play, is drinking his own son's piss because he's getting douched with like five streams of urine.
Oh my God,
fountain.
Yes.
A fountain of piss.
Question, does this kid have multiple dicks? Because it's multiple streams of
yes. You've got to go to a urologist. You have to go to a pediatric urologist. All right, everybody,
I think he's got 8 dicks down there. He's like the Vishnu of cock.
But then, like, he gets a super soaker dick and, like,
oh, yeah, they all
blast him away.
It's disgusting. Oh, God,
it's like a water cannon.
It's a fire hose.
At some point, also in
Loki,
the film,
Loki, your son's pissing on Jamie Kennedy. You want to get down there, please?
Also, at some point, Loki, like, eats someone's fart in this movie.
Well, that happens later. That's
Is it later?
Yeah,
oh,
the fight. He eats the mask's fart.
Oh, so, pardon me.
He steals the baby. He dresses up like the wife to, like, say, hey, you know, he, like, tries to trick him into, like, giving him the mask.
Having sex again.
He doesn't. So when he steals the baby, and then when the wife comes home, Jamie Kennedy abuses this woman to a point.
Oh, he's throwing her all over the place.
And she's like, you know, it's the girlfriend from Dirty Work. You know, she's a small woman. He's just fucking choke slamming her. And I'm like, whoa, not the movie I wanted to watch.
It's so weird.
Yes.
But he beats the shit out of her.
And she's like, wait, I'm not a Norse god. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was punching you in the face then. Oh, weird. And she's just like, oh, whatever.
And their baby's kidnapped. So they have to go. He's like, oh, I know where the mask is. Otis has it. And Otis, of course, he's like, oh, yeah, there's a really sexy dog that he likes. Like, knows this dog's sex life? It's disgusting.
Oh, I know that my dog, as the mask, would be at this other dog's house trying to rail it. Like, let's go to where this other dog lives.
He's been laying some seeds with this dog.
Yeah.
Over the years.
He's been playing the long game with this
now pitch. It's time for it to happen.
I think he's called Jamie Kennedy while they're running. Is like, yeah, he knows this sexy little piece on, you know, whatever avenue or whatever. Like, it's gross.
Jesus Christ. And that goes back to, I mean, that's like the days of Jim Belushi getting Jerry Lee laid.
Yes.
Oh, don't you find that hot piece of pooch there or what?
Oh, man, her genitals are getting pretty hot for you there.
Oh, Jerry Lee, take a whiff of that.
God.
It's disgusting.
Damn it.
And, like, the dog has made some romantic dog date. It's like, whatever. Just fuck. Like, dogs don't have dates. They fuck. Even if you were the masked dog, you would just fuck.
But we're referencing Lady and the Tramp because we love talking about cartoons that are better than us.
Speaking of that, we haven't talked about it really quickly. His name, Jamie Kennedy's name is Tim Avery in this movie, and I want to throw up.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Tex Avery, which is where, you know, where all those wolf...
right, Chris? Weird mask sperm. Oh,
that's awful.
So this is sacrilegious to more than just the Norse.
And, like that has to be a line item of trivia on the IMDb. Like, I want to be like, no, that's not useful. That's stupid.
Yeah, there's no selection on IMDb. Like, was this useful? It's like, yes or no, not like this is the dumbest thing.
Well, like everyone knew this. Like on the iTunes, like, was this review helpful? Yeah. Yes or no? Was this fucking fact useful? Absolutely not.
So he takes the mask off the dog. They go to Loki, who they're playing this weird Twister game.
It's gross. It's like mask, like Twister for the mask people, where we can stretch our limbs all over the place,
like put our ears on things.
And again,
the baby tickles him with his ear.
Ear just starts pulling out of the head. It's disgusting.
At this point, Loki says, oh, you're cool. I want to hang out with you, baby, and maybe we'll be best pals.
Right, right, right.
And then he turns back into Super Loki, which is stupid.
And then Jamie Kennedy's putting the mask on and, like, whatever.
They have a mask fight in a boxing ring.
Yes, we're in a gymnasium where we're just going to mask box for some reason.
This is what he farts in Loki's mouth, and Loki's like, ew.
He's like, oh, I'm eating a fart, Jamie Kennedy. Someone got paid $1 million for this movie. Eating fucking mask farts.
I don't think $1 million went to anybody on this movie.
You don't think anyone got paid over $1 million?
I think you probably spent over $1 million making it.
Yeah.
I don't think $1 million went to any single part of it.
No, Jamie Kennedy got like $2 or $3 million.
Are you fucking
really? Was that an heckler? You know, you shouldn't call me Hitler because I made $2 million.
Hitler never made that much.
So, yeah, whatever. I mean, the Norse god of mischief eats a fart, and then it boils down to, much like trying to get a dog to decide, like, its allegiance, it's like, come on, come to me, come to your father. No, come to Uncle Loki, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, Jamie Kennedy rips off the mask, and he's like, I'm your dad, come to me. And the baby picks him, of course.
And then fucking Bob Hoskins comes down, and
shows up.
We do. And we've got a weird stand-in where, like, because he's Odin and he can't be short little Bob Hoskins. So, like, there must be some dude like Kevin Nash. They superimposed his face on there because, like, he's tall, right? Like, he's as tall as Alan Cumming, which he absolutely isn't.
I think it was just Nash put Hoskins on his shoulders. And you just dress up the whole thing. You do,
well,
like,
he's
a
wearing
Bugs Bunny
a bunch
thing.
Of Game of Thrones garb, so you can't see who's
underneath.
You
can hide Nash under that.
Exactly.
Just, like... And he's like, all right, Loki, you failed. You didn't get me the mask, so now I'm taking your powers forever.
And intervenes Jamie Kennedy as the newly donned father of the year.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's your job to be a good father, and your son loves you, and let's just come together, and just here's the mask, everybody.
Whatever, it didn't matter.
Even though I almost killed my child, well, I would say at least 3 dozen times over the course of this movie.
Is anybody hungry for another fart? Let's just nosh on a fart together.
Get your knives and forks out for the next fart.
He should let Loki die or whatever.
Sure.
Or, like, here's the thing, Bob Hoskins. You're such a great fucking all-father, right? Wouldn't it be more troublesome for, like, the lives of mortals to have this fucking super energy being that is the son of the mask?
Yeah.
Then just this mask causing mischief, wouldn't he be like, oh, Loki, by the way, I gotta kill that kid?
There has to be something about,
or a depowering.
Like, yeah, we're always checking in on you. But if he can remove Loki's power, bing, bang, boom, now your baby's just a normal baby.
Well, that's it's like, why
finally not? A baby I can take with me to WrestleMania.
I mean, like, why can't it be a and mother to me scene? Like, Like, I kind of was waiting for that.
He tries to steal this baby.
He's like, I'm fucking tired of you, Alan Cumming. Your spirit is going into this baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
But that doesn't happen. No. Loki and Odin kiss and make up, and they go back to Asgard.
For what? They just go play with dinosaur bones together, I guess.
There's a new T-Rex femur I want to show you, Loki. Real great addition to our dino graveyard we live in.
We have to colonize an alternate reality.
You can see me and Loki in our new sequel, Son of the Masks, Ghosts of Mars. Starring Ice Cube. As Thor.
Ice Cube would make a pretty good Thor.
I'd buy it.
I'd go for that one.
He's worthy to hold the hammer.
So Jimmy Kennedy
now
comes up with an idea to do a dog v. baby cartoon.
And I'm laughing my nuts off the whole time.
And we finally get an actual real cartoon in this scene.
And Stephen Wright loves it.
Hey, I think that's a really brilliant idea. What a breakthrough.
Hey, Tim Avery, that sounds a lot like Tex Avery. And actually, this idea is very much like those Tom and Jerry cartoons without the cat.
Hey, Auga.
As K. Billy's super sounds of the 70s keep on trucking.
So, little and green bag.
So he's an ultra success.
Yep. Sure.
He's the next Warner Brother.
He's the newest Warner Brother.
Exactly.
Welcome to the fold.
Yeah. And they're just sitting at home. He realizes he doesn't hate his son's guts.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, he accepts his clear lifelong disability as the son of the mask. Wait till this kid gets to grade school.
Dude, wait till this kid hits puberty.
Like, oh, yeah.
Hell on earth.
You know what I'd be saying if I was Jamie Kennedy? Wait till this kid hits the foster home. Because there's no the fuck way I'm dealing with
that. No, you got to cobble pot this kid. You put him in a little cage and put him down and let penguins raise him.
Yeah.
And we're sitting at home and they're watching the cartoon, which we get to see because I got to see this genius unfold. And she's like, honey, that's a really great cartoon you just saw there. Oh, fantastic. You're a genius. What did you think, little baby? Oh, that's cool. Also, by the way, hey, little baby, what do you think about being a big brother? And it's like she's just knocked up again.
Eyebrow raise from this creepy baby CGI.
Yes. Oh, that's right. That's what we zoom in on. The baby, and it's just like the people's eyebrow goes up.
My name is Alvy Avery.
Credits.
I have to find my parents.
Oh, no, I can't do my Danny DeVito because it's exactly my Bob Hoskins. People might figure it out.
And that's the end of the movie. We're just at credits of fucking nonsense, this movie. It's 92 minutes 92 of nonsense? Minutes.
Some versions are 92 minutes.
93?
93 minutes is the cut you want.
This is also a movie where you feel every minute.
Every last second.
If we're going to go around, would you recommend this?
Would you recommend it?
I would not. And we say this a lot. I do think it might be the worst movie we've ever done, with the exception of Nuki always being up there. But Nuki's a little more fun, at least, because you got the South African dubbing factor.
Yes.
Yeah. This is like there's money here.
Yeah, the strangeness factor in Nuki kind of outweighs it. Like, it's just an odd thing that happened.
Yes.
But, like, this, clearly, we were trying to hit several different demographics, missed every single one of them.
And let me point out that this is 2005. We've already had at least one Lord of the Rings movie.
Yep.
So New Line, this is an interesting time for New Line, because it's right at the point of, like, we've got all of this Lord of the Rings money.
And we're going to waste it all.
And we're going to waste it on things like Semi-Pro and Son of the Mask. And then eventually we're going to fuck that whole success up so much that our parent company absorbs us and we get to pretend like we never existed.
Yep. They should have just shelved it. I mean, they offered it to everybody. Jack Black was offered. He said, absolutely not.
Yep.
I can't imagine there was a comedian working at the time that they didn't offer this to.
But it's weird, too, because the other thing you're asking of people, and certainly Jamie Kennedy is not up to the task, is...
Which I don't even think is his fault. I don't even think this movie is his fault.
It's
I think
totally
Jamie
not.
Jamie Kennedy, he's not up to the... What was that line?
What?
Nothing.
No, I'm just saying, like, It's you'd be very hard pressed to find someone who can successfully follow a manic physical Jim Carrey performance like this, because he's the best of the best at that stuff. You know, and you can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Chris Farley's the mask, but we couldn't get that. Obviously,
a little too late for Mask 2.
I'm
with
just
Chris
thinking
Farley.
About great physical comedians,
right? Well, and that's the whole. And I feel like that's a lot of why we're dealing with a dancing baby screensaver and not an actor playing the mask.
Well, it's exactly like what they offered Amy Poehler and Louis C.K. The Daily Show. Nobody wants the chair.
Yes.
Nobody wants it.
You're totally right.
It's just really ridiculous. So you watch The Mask, which is not one of Jim Carrey's best movies.
It's a pretty bad movie.
But it's him going on all cylinders.
Yes.
Do you really want that? Nobody does.
Audience at large, don't get us wrong. We all think The Mask is a bad movie. It's a dull, bad movie lifted by nothing other than Jim Carrey's performance as the character. There's nothing else.
Honestly,
in that movie.
Watch them back to back, and The Mask is
grounded. The Mask is at least grounded. There's a story there,
but
there's some kind of structure to it.
You got Richard Jenny.
You've got rose-colored glasses when you do that because you watched
I just watched it this week.
But that's what I'm saying. You're watching the Son of the Mask first, which is eating a whole buffet of dog shit. And then you watch The Mask,
which
and it's
is
like
one White Castle hamburger, and you're like, wow, this is the best meal I ever had.
Exactly.
Sure, I guess. Yes. By the way, I won't recommend this movie. Yes.
It's a four-way not recommend,
no way.
Man. Was this what killed any potential for Jamie Kennedy?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he was dead on arrival.
He just doesn't have it. You know, I think that he's fine.
It was amazing that Malibu's Most Wanted ever got off the ground.
I am a little shocked by that, honestly. That was ever a thing.
That was before.
I'm sorry, but the other one, Kicking It Old School.
Well, the fact that he is asked to anchor a movie is insane to me.
The fact that he was asked to anchor that weird LA public access New Year's Eve show.
That's a great video.
It's way more entertaining than Son of the Mask.
He's a good number six or a number seven in a movie. Like where Scream, he does well in Scream.
Yes. In like 10 years, when Alexander Payne asks him to be like the bartender in a really big scene, it's going to be great. And he's going to be great in that scene.
Sure.
But like you've got to, now we're waiting for this scene.
I will admit, from the first time I saw Scream 1, I was like, I like this guy. Like, to me, at the time, watching Scream, I'm like, he's a horror movie geek.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I am.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. Like, I saw myself represented in a movie.
I did the same thing. It was the most I've ever regretted buying stock in someone. Like,
yes.
I bought low, and man, did I sell even lower.
That's Son of the Mask from 2005. Directed by Lawrence Guterman. If you want to get a hold of us, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us on sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at whmpodcast. And right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show in iTunes or wherever you get us. We would greatly appreciate it. Clue for next week's episode.
Claire Danes.
Claire Danes.
That's a big one.
Yeah, Carrie Matheson.
Carrie Matheson herself.
Homeland Season 3. You asked for it. We're doing it.
30 hours of watching.
So until next week when we're talking about Claire Danes in some capacity, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Zeta.
Take it easy.